Christ Church, Branchville, Alabama, presents this podcast of the weekly sermon. If you would like to support our ministry or get a higher quality recording on CD, please contact deacons at christchurchbranchcove.org. Enjoy the sermon.
Scripture reading this morning is from Proverbs chapter 15, verses 10 through 33. Proverbs 15, 10 to 33. Harsh discipline is for him who forsakes the way, and he who hates correction will die. Hell and destruction are before the Lord, so how much more the hearts of the sons of men? A scoffer does not love the one who corrects him, nor will he go to the wise. A merry heart makes a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. The heart of him who has understanding seeks knowledge, but the mouth of fools feeds on foolishness. All the days of the afflicted are evil, but he who is of a merry heart has a continual feast. Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great trouble or great treasure with trouble. Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a fatted calf with hatred. A wrathful man stirs up strife, but he who is slow to anger allays contention. The way of the lazy man is like a hedge of thorns, but the way of the upright is a highway. A wise son makes a father glad, but a foolish man despises his mother. Folly is joy to him who is destitute of discernment, but a man of understanding walks uprightly. Without counsel, plans go awry, but in the multitude of counselors they are established. A man has joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good it is. The way of life winds upward for the wise, that he may turn away from hell below. The Lord will destroy the house of the proud, but he will establish the boundary of the widow. The thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord, but the words of the pure are pleasant. He who is greedy for gain troubles his own house, but he who hates bribes will live. The heart of the righteous studies how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours forth evil. The Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous. The light of the eyes rejoices the heart, and a good report makes the bones healthy. The ear that hears the rebukes of life will abide among the wise. He who disdains instruction despises his own soul, but he who heeds rebuke gets understanding. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our closest kinsman. We rejoice in the privilege we have, O Father, in your Son, to approach your holy throne. Speak to us now. Give us obedient ears to receive your truth, and by your Spirit conform us to the image of Jesus. Grow us in wisdom. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Boys and girls, pay attention for humble and humility. Humble and humility. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, I want you to consider a scenario. You receive an email from a friend. And within the body of the email links an article that addresses an area that is a weakness of yours. Perhaps it's a parenting issue. Maybe being a good steward of money. Being diligent in your work. And your friend knows this is an issue for you. And you know they know. So before you click on that link to read that article, what are you thinking? Oh boy. Where's your heart? In this scenario and others, another person is telling us something we may not want to hear. Why? Because they see something in us that they believe needs to change. Something undesirable, something unhelpful. Perhaps it's even something serious or dangerous enough that they even feel the need to come to us. Now, not every hard conversation, not every hard approach is about sin. It could be a wisdom issue. It could be considering another perspective you haven't heard before. But when we consider such uncomfortable situations, uncomfortable conversations, we need to begin by recognizing that things aren't perfect. Things aren't perfect in this world. Things aren't perfect with us. It's reality. The creation God made, which He originally declared to be very good, is fallen. It is fallen due to sin and rebellion. And our natural state is fallen. Now, God's original design, that perfect creation, was for human beings made in His image to grow in maturity. Life would begin for man with childlike faith and dependence on God. The Father would teach His children how to live and serve Him in exercising dominion over the whole world. So the original creation was faith, maturity, and wisdom for men and women. And that would be for us to grow up and move out. Maturity in imaging God and going out into the world as kings and queens. This was the perfect design. And sin corrupted that. Sin affected who we are as human beings and how we live for God. We are not born with childlike faith, loving our Father. We don't want to listen to instruction and teaching. We don't want wisdom. So sinful man doesn't want to be challenged. Rebellious men and women don't want to be told that they're doing something wrong. Or there might be a better way to do things. Even in the hardest and most futile of situations. This is the starting point for all of us apart from the grace of God. We're not unblemished babes with childlike faith for God our Father. We have corrupted minds, corrupted hearts, corrupted bodies, and we hate God. We don't want truth. We don't want wisdom. And the good news to our dire situation is that Jesus brings us back to God. He sets us free from bondage to sin. He brings us back as children to the Father. He sets us back for our original purpose. Our situation has changed from that sin and corruption. Now, not everything as it was is as it was in the beginning, but we are still to have childlike faith and grow in maturity and wisdom. So we come in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. We desire, Father, teach us, grow us in maturity. We want to be sanctified. We want to be made more like Jesus, who is the perfect human being, who has no blemishes. But we still wrestle with that natural state, the one we have from birth, the one we've heard already this morning from Romans 7. In faith, we want to please God. We want to glorify our Father. But the weakness of the flesh due to sin, we resist correction. We resist reproof. We know it's wrong, but we still struggle. We'd rather be kissed by the enemy than be wounded by friends. But we come in faith. We desire to image Christ in our lives, in our bodies, living sacrifices to Him. It shouldn't surprise us that wisdom that God gives is for the whole body, for the whole person. For He's not simply just conforming our minds. He's not just changing hearts. Jesus bought the whole body. The Holy Spirit dwells within our whole bodies. The Lord wants all of us for service to the kingdom. So the Father teaches the body. So as we hear the words for our growth in the book of Proverbs, notice the teaching to different body parts. Body parts. What was it last week? The body part we heard from Proverbs was the tongue, the lips, our mouths. This morning, the Father teaches you, His children, about receiving correction. And that begins with the heart. Proverbs 4:23. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of its spring the issues of life. Everything flows out of the heart. The Holy Spirit begins by changing our hearts. Our hearts are our very center. The life we desire in Christ, the life that we live, flows out of what's in our heart. So we need humble hearts that recognize our fallen nature. And we need to guard those hearts. Proverbs 14, verse 10. The heart knows its own bitterness, and a stranger does not share its joy. Brothers and sisters, this is Romans 7 again. Recognize your weakness. Be humble. Acknowledge the fallen nature of your heart and the desire to change it. Proverbs 28, verse 14. Happy is the man who is always reverent, but he who hardens his heart will fall into calamity. If our hearts aren't humble, the alternative for us is death, not life. When that hard conversation begins with another brother or sister in Christ, when we receive that original email, is your heart ready for it? Is that heart desiring to be challenged? Because we can resort to pride. That would be consistent with that fallen nature. The opposite of humility is pride. Proverbs 11, verse 2. When pride comes, then comes shame. But with the humble is wisdom. Now, speaking of our original state, Adam chose pride. He wanted independence. This is the way of the serpent who did not want to submit to God. The first Adam chose pride. Jesus, the last Adam, chose and imaged true submission. He imaged true humility. Proverbs 16, 18, and 19. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Think of Jesus now. Better to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. Who is your Lord? Whom do you follow? Children of God love humility because children of God love Jesus. And Jesus images true humility. So choose ye this day whom you will serve. Will you seek after pride and follow the evil one? Or will you choose humility and follow Christ? Continuing in the body, this proverb speaks to the ear. Now, the ear is important because there is humility in our hearing. The ear is an important body part for kingdom servants. Kingdom servants need to listen. That's how we receive instruction from our king. Faith comes by hearing from the word of God. We need to be receptive to his instruction. We need to be receptive to correction. Proverbs 18:15. The heart, again, the heart of the prudent acquires knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeks knowledge. We need circumcised ears and circumcised hearts. We need the blockage of life removed in Christ. Humble servants desire to be led. It starts with the heart. Humble servants desire to be taught through hearing. Starts with the heart and flows to action. Our ears are open to instruction from the king. Proverbs 19, verse 20. Listen to counsel and receive instruction, that you may be wise in your latter days. Listen, receive for wisdom. That's back to the original. That's back to upward and outward, maturity and kingdom expansion. The Father gives wisdom to his children for dominion. We need to seek wisdom with open ears. Now, that does not come in a day. You don't wake up in the morning and say, I think I'll be wise today. I want wisdom today. That wisdom is a pursuit. It's a regular daily commitment with humility. Wisdom comes for latter days, as mentioned. That humility starts with, I don't have all the answers. The Lord still has much for me to learn. I need to set my heart and set my ears and listen. Now, brothers and sisters, this is an essential aspect of Christian discipleship. Tune your ear to your Lord. And this is why we read Scripture in the worship service. It trains us to listen as kingdom servants. It's a recognition of authority. You come before the Lord to hear from him. We listen to God speak to receive his instruction. Now, this is not a thus saith the Lord, just an idea for you to consider. When we hear Scripture in the service before the sermon, begin with hearing it. Try not opening your Bibles yet. Hear it first. After the reading, yes, open your Bibles, follow along. But when the public reading of Scripture occurs in the service, try listening, hearing it before you open your Bibles to follow along with your eyes. Just a suggestion. Begin with ears open. Hear the message from the King. Now, you can continue in Proverbs, and actually, parents, this would be a good idea with your kids. Proverbs 31 chapters, 30, 31 days in a month. Go through a chapter a day with your kids, set them at the table, and you read the chapter to them. teach them to hear, for example, the body parts. I'm going to read a chapter. Listen, how many body parts does God talk about here in this chapter? Just an idea. Teach them to listen to God's word and to pay attention to the details. After we hear and we receive with humility and faith, we are set to respond to our King. Proverbs 15:31. The ear that hears the rebukes of life will abide among the wise. We live by the word we hear. The word goes into us. It abides in us. What do we receive? We receive life. We receive life-giving reproof. Proverbs 6:23. The commandment is a lamp and the law a light. Reproofs of instruction are the way of life. The reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Reproof is life. The word is life. It is a gracious word to bring us back to the path of holiness. Correction is of the Lord. Our Father desires that we keep to the way of righteousness. And His word guards us. If we begin to wander off the path, He calls us back by His mercy and His grace. He does that through our hearing of His word. And He also does that through the counsel of reproof from brothers and sisters in Christ. You wander off the path, a brother or sister brings you back. These are still words of life for our ears to hear, our hearts to receive. But they come from imperfect vessels, don't they? Not only do we start with that trouble with correction, we don't like it. We don't like to be told that we're doing something wrong. We don't like not being the ultimate authority over ourselves. Our weakness of the flesh likes and loves autonomy. And in pride, we don't want correction from fallible people. That's why we need to be humble. That's why we need to receive it by faith. It's because this is how God reproves us, through the words of reproof from others, life-giving words from other temples of the Holy Spirit. Christians can encourage and give life through positive pick-me-ups, as we heard last week. But life-giving words can also be corrections. They're not mutually exclusive. Reproof is a necessary service in the church. A brother or sister can see that weakness in you, can see that imperfection you're still working on. Perhaps you don't even see it, but they can. And they can come and speak a word into you, through your ears, into your hearts, into your bodies. And that word of life can save you from death. Likewise, you might see your brother or sister in sin or folly, and your reproof can save them from death and destruction. Proverbs 27, verse 6. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. We must be wise with our words. Our words are powerful. We can kill with our words, and we can give life with our words. A talk of rebuke, a word of rebuke, is life. Proverbs 24:11-12. Deliver those who are drawn toward death. Hold back those stumbling to the slaughter. If you say, surely we did not know this, does not he who weighs the hearts consider it? He who keeps your soul, does he not know it? And will he not render to each man according to his deeds? Sounds pretty important, doesn't it? Death, slaughter. the opportunity, the privilege, the responsibility we have to reprove one another for the sake of righteousness, for the sake of our souls. The Lord puts us in such situations because this is how He gives grace to us. This is how He speaks to us. And this is why reproof is spoken so positively in Proverbs. It's because God gives life in His Word. He wants us to speak life with our words. He corrects His children, and He desires for us to image Him in this. With humility, with grace, to be given and to be received. Boys and girls, Proverbs 12, verse 1. Whoever loves instruction loves knowledge, but he who hates correction is stupid. Boys and girls, do you want to be stupid? Hopefully not. Love reproof. Love correction, boys and girls. Proverbs 15, verse 5. A fool despises his father's instruction, but he who receives correction is prudent. Boys and girls, do you want to be a fool? Grace from God is in the importance of correction, the importance of reproof. But parents, let's consider the other side of this. Why might your children despise your correction? Why are they despising it? Sin is a definite possibility. But with redeemed children, with new ears, new minds, new hearts, if the message is good and right, it could be the method. It could be the how it's communicated. So parents, give life, not death. Don't boil the kid in its mother's milk. Be life-giving with your corrections of your children. And as a church, we want to raise children who love correction. We all want to be disciples who love reproof. Reproof from the Lord and reproof from one another. So we need to model this. We need to model humble hearts. We need to model gracious reception of rebukes. This means modeling confession of sin for the kids and for one another. That's humility. If I image humility to you, you're more apt to give me more and more words of wisdom, and vice versa. If we reflect a love of wounds from friends, others around us, including the children, will pick that up. It's a quality to be followed. Let us love the standard of humility unto wisdom. And let us teach one another to love it. As we, men, women, and children in Christ, as we all grow in maturity of faith, we need to seek more and more life from the Lord, from the Spirit working in us and through us to one another. This is our love and service to God, our Father, and our love and service to one another. It's found in our mutual union in Jesus Christ. Proverbs 27, verse 17. As iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. The love of reproof is the path to holiness. The love of reproof is the path to holiness. As we learn more about God, we understand how great and holy He is. We recognize that we are mere creatures and that we are mere children. Our Father already knows this. Our Father knows where we need growth as individuals, collectively, as a body. He desires for us to grow, and He graciously grows us. That's why you're here in this body, in this church family. It's because you have areas of your life that need work. And He's brought you to this body, this family, to grow you with words of life. Because there are brothers and sisters here who are going to challenge you to leave your comfort zone, to do hard things you don't want to do, to grow in Christ. And we need to have humble hearts for that. Not my will be done, Lord, but your will be done. Because we don't have it all figured out. We're not finished products. Yes, the Father graciously sees us perfect in His Son, but He has much work for us to do, and He has an image into which for us to grow. That is the image of Jesus. And the image Jesus provides for us is one of humility, a one of submission. Proverbs 18, verse 12. Before destruction, the heart of a man is haughty, and before honor is humility. So we have a threat here. Pride comes before destruction. The devil is prideful. The devil loves followers. He desperately strove against God to his own defeat. So don't follow his lead to pride and destruction. On the other hand, the Son humbled himself, setting aside the glory he was due. He was humble unto the death of a cross. But what did Jesus receive after humility? Exaltation. After death, glory. The Father glorified the Son in His death and exalted Him to greater glory after His death. Jesus is your Master. Follow Him in service to the Father. Walk the path of humility unto glory. The choice is pretty simple, especially to redeemed people with new eyes, new hearts, new minds, new ears. Do you want destruction and death? Or would you rather the Lord give you life and wisdom and glory? Be glory seekers. Not vainglory for yourselves, but glory for your bridegroom, Jesus. Glory for the bride that only He gives us. For we live among a generation that is pure in its own eyes, a generation not yet washed from its filthiness. How lofty are their eyes! And if we are going to wage war, we need to be wise. Proverbs 20, verse 18. Plans are established by counsel. By wise counsel, wage war. Brothers and sisters, the Spirit grows us together in holiness, in life-giving, reproving relationships of Christian fellowship. Let us humble ourselves before the Lord and one another. Let us commit to love the wounds of a friend for our own holiness in Christ and the mutual edification of building up the bride. Let us continue to pursue wisdom and maturity. This is what the Father desires for His children. Continue to read and study and learn Proverbs. For the kingdom is ruled by wise kings and queens sitting on their thrones, exercising dominion over the creation purchased with Christ's blood. And see the grace that God gives you in your church family. The grace that He continues to work in you, imparting wisdom through life-giving words from brothers and sisters. Hear each other's words with humble ears and humble hearts. Love the sanctifying voice of the Lord and the selfless reproof of one another, wounding our pride for glory. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Let us pray. O Lord our God and merciful Father in heaven, we rejoice in You. We are thankful for Your making Yourself known to us in Your Son, Jesus Christ, and Your continuing dwelling in us by Your Holy Spirit. Thank You for giving us Your Word, for speaking to us the words of the kingdom. We pray for faithful reception of Your gracious reproof, like apples of gold in the setting of silver, like earrings of gold for Your kingdom servants. Hide Your word in our hearts and our minds, and grow us after the image of Jesus. We pray this in His name. Amen.
If you would like to support our ministry or get a higher quality recording on CD, please contact Deacons at Christ Church, Branch Cove, www.thewcl.org.